Tonight, breaking news. The Senate has passed President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. The vote 50 to 49. Not a single Republican senator supporting the measure. The package including $1,400 direct payments to many Americans and extended unemployment benefits, money for vaccine distribution and schools. Now heading back to the House for approval. When can Americans expect to see those checks? Super spreader fears. The new images tonight of spring breakers packing beaches and bars, many without masks. Atlanta officials attempting to crack down on crowds gathering for NBA All-Star Weekend. This as the country picks up steam in the race to vaccinate. The new record tonight, 2.9 million reported shots administered in a single day. Pepper spray outrage. The shocking body camera footage showing a Rochester police officer pepper spraying a mother while she held the hand of her screaming three-year-old child. The department already under fire after another officer pepper sprayed a nine-year-old less than a month ago. The Pope's historic trip. Late today, Pope Francis celebrating the first ever papal mass in Iraq's capital, telling a packed church, love is our strength. Hours before, the pontiff sitting down with the top Shia cleric in Iraq, what we're learning about the extraordinary exchange between the two religious leaders. Royal rift. The royal family bracing for Harry and Meghan's explosive interview, and now the video messages just released from Buckingham Palace. Fraternities under fire. The investigations tonight at two college campuses over alleged hazing incidents. A heartbroken family now calling for an end to these tragedies. And news tonight about poet Amanda Gorman. Her powerful message after she says she was racially profiled by a security guard outside her own home.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening. It's good to have you with us on this Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson, and we start with that breaking news, the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill passing the Senate, clearing a major hurdle to get stimulus aid directly to struggling Americans. President Biden this afternoon from the White House celebrating the Senate vote, calling it one more giant step toward delivering on his promise to help the American people. Senators voting along party lines after more than 25 hours considering and amending the package, working into the early morning hours. Up next, the House, where it's expected to win approval next week. And that's just in time for millions set to lose their unemployment benefits. Instead, the bill would extend those benefits through September 6th, and many Americans would receive direct payments of $1,400. The bill also includes billions for vaccine distribution, contact tracing, and schools. Republicans united in opposition, saying it's too expensive. ABC White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks leads us off.
Tonight, the Senate passing Democrats' nearly $2 trillion COVID relief package, bringing President Biden one step closer to a major win on a campaign promise.
When we took office 45 days ago, I promised the American people that help was on the way. Today, I can say we've taken one more giant step forward in delivering on that promise.
The bill including billions of dollars in aid for states, schools, and small businesses, plus direct $1,400 payments to many Americans.
This plan will get checks out the door starting this month to the American people who so desperately need the help.
Today, after the Senate voted for more than 25 straight hours on dozens of last-minute amendments, Democrats approving the measure alone. Republicans firmly united against the plan.
The Senate has never spent $2 trillion in a more haphazard way or through a less rigorous process.
The vote coming after the process was held up for nearly 12 hours overnight as Democrats worked to get moderate West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin on board with a plan to extend expanded unemployment benefits through the first week of September, but agreeing to keep them at $300 a week instead of four. In Ohio, Stacey Rodriguez says that stimulus check could help keep her family afloat. She was hospitalized with COVID-19 last year, and her daughter recently needed surgery, too.
To some people, $1,400 is nothing to them, but it can mean I'm able to pay some of our electric bills, our gas bill at home, our mortgage payment. I'm able to buy her medications.
So many Americans desperate for this aid. So let's get to Mary Alice Parks on Capitol Hill. And Mary Alice, we heard in your piece the president say those checks will be out the door this month. But what needs to happen between now and then? And what are members of the House saying as this revised bill heads back their way?
Yeah, Whit, that's the final step. This Senate bill needs to go back to the House for final passage. Democratic leaders, they're confident, signaling today they think they can move fast. They want to vote Tuesday, but they only have a slim margin there. They're going to have to keep their ranks together if they can get this done by next week and get it to the president's desk. Whit.
All right, Mary Alice Parks for us. Thank you. Now to the latest on the pandemic and growing fears tonight about potential super spreader events. Atlanta officials telling fans to stay away from gatherings surrounding this weekend's NBA All-Star game. And South Florida bracing for spring breakers, many maskless as COVID-weary young people head for the beaches there. Those concerns amid some really good news we've just learned in the vaccine rollout. A new reported record, 2.9 million reported shots administered in just one day. More mass vaccination sites going live in several states. And here's ABC's Elwin Lopez in Atlanta.
Tonight, scenes like this across the country. Spring breakers flocking to beaches and bars, sparking fears of another deadly coronavirus surge. Florida already seeing huge crowds of mostly maskless partiers. This popular hotspot in Fort Lauderdale banning anyone from out of state younger than 23.
They're doing a great job maintaining masks. I think it's kind of silly.
Here in Atlanta, it's NBA All-Star Weekend, the game close to the public. But despite officials urging out-of-towners to stay home, thousands descending on a city still at risk. Georgia ranking dead last for vaccinations per 100,000 people. Many businesses taking precautions.
They just take their temperature just like that. If it's above 99, then it beats too loud. We don't allow them to enter.
These vaccinated fans just flew in from Dallas hoping for some normalcy.
We just decided, you know what, we got our shots, let's do it.
Do you think that pandemic fatigue is also contributing to that thought?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Arizona reopening at full capacity. Texas and Mississippi dropping mask mandates altogether. All three states have at least one of the highly contagious variants. Florida has three.
We have seen this movie before. When prevention measures like mask mandates are rolled back, cases go up.
Vaccinations ramping up, the nation shattering a single-day record with 2.9 million shots into arms reported. The Javits Center in New York City now open around the clock.
I'm super glad that it's over with, and I got the one dose, so I don't have to come back here. So I'm ecstatic.
The Javits Center there among the places offering that Johnson & Johnson single-dose vaccine. Elwin Lopez joins us now from Atlanta. And Elwin, we know vaccinations are really ramping up. You're learning officials are expecting enough doses for 130 million Americans by the end of March.
What we know that in the last week, nearly 20 million doses were distributed by the end of the month. Officials are expecting approximately 126 million more doses. What?
Encouraging news. Elwin Lopez for us in Atlanta. Thank you. Police in Rochester, New York are again under fire. An officer now on administrative duty, body camera video appearing to show that officer using pepper spray on a woman who'd been holding her three-year-old child. Police now releasing footage of the incident, a warning it is difficult to watch. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
Tonight, disturbing new police body camera footage sparking an investigation in Rochester. Video shows an officer attempting to arrest a woman suspected of shoplifting late last month as she's holding her three-year-old daughter. The woman seen running away, and after a brief chase, officers tackling her and one firing pepper spray, her child screaming next to her. That officer's now on administrative duty pending review of the incident. The interim police chief saying the situation could have been de-escalated.
Can we get to the same place by utilizing a different strategy, maybe? And so those are the things I really want to focus on.
The controversy comes only weeks after this video showing Rochester police pepper spraying a 9-year-old girl.
Both incidents involve black mothers. Both involve black children. both involved Black people, obviously in crisis.
Intense scrutiny coming from the city's newly created Police Accountability Board. It was formed following the death of Daniel Prude at the hands of police last year. That video and its fallout sparking protests and sweeping resignations from police leadership. The board now calling for changes to the department's procedures and culture.
And with the police union says they also want change, but this officer was following protocol. The woman pepper sprayed was first suspected of shoplifting, but charged with trespassing. Her daughter was not hurt. Whit.
Okay, Trevor Ault with that disturbing video tonight. Thank you. Overseas now, Pope Francis denouncing religious extremism, reaching out to Muslims during a historic visit to Iraq. The Pope meeting today with the country's top Shia cleric in his home. The Ayatollah saying Christians should be able to live in peace and security like all other Iraqis. The Pope today celebrating the first ever papal mass in Iraq, and ABC's Ian Pannell is there.
Tonight, the first ever papal mass in Iraq, a country home to Christians since the first century. A heady mix of cheers, songs, and incense greeted Pope Francis. This historic trip means so much to so many, but above all, to the dwindling numbers of the faithful. Earlier, the Pope held a groundbreaking meeting with a top Shia cleric in Iraq, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani. Walking the narrow streets of the holy city of Najaf, Francis removed his shoes before meeting one of the most revered and influential religious leaders in the region. In a major move, the Grand Ayatollah offering protection to Iraq's beleaguered Christians, whose numbers have collapsed in the last 20 years. It was an unprecedented meeting between the head of Christianity and a leader of Shia Muslims, and sends a powerful message. There was also a pilgrimage to what's believed to be the birthplace of Abraham, the patriarch of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Alongside other religious leaders, he condemned extremism and violence as a betrayal of religion. But delivering the hope and reconciliation they all crave will take more than prayers.
Ian Pannell joins us now from Erbil, where the Pope will hold the biggest mass of his trip tomorrow. And Ian, he's also going to Mosul, where ISIS first declared their caliphate.
That's right. 7 years ago, ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi also declaring that ISIS would occupy Rome. Well, imagine the irony that, in fact, Rome, Pope Francis, is actually going to go to Mosul instead, but this time on a peaceful pilgrimage. It's a scene that would have been almost unimaginable just a few years ago. Whit?
Ian Pannell, our thanks to you tonight. Now to the latest increasing tensions in the royal family. Senior royals delivering video messages ahead of Commonwealth Day celebrations tomorrow, the same day that much-anticipated interview with Harry and Meghan airs here in the United States. ABC's Julia McFarlane has the story.
Tonight, the royals putting on a united front, despite the escalating family rift, focusing on the pandemic in video messages ahead of Commonwealth Day celebrations tomorrow.
This pandemic has shown us the true nature of a global emergency.
Highlighting global efforts to tackle COVID-19.
Catherine and I have spoken to a lot of healthcare workers in the UK and around the world.
The royals bracing for blowback from Harry and Meghan's upcoming interview, which is dividing opinion on this side of the pond.
When it comes to the Queen, she's incredibly popular. I think a lot of people in Britain do feel very protective of her. And I think when Harry and Meghan, if they are seen to be saying and doing things that might harm her or are critical of her, then I think that's when they start to lose public opinion over here.
Meghan expected to reveal her side of the story, telling Oprah why she's speaking out now.
That we're on the other side of a lot of life experience that's happened, and also that we have the ability to make our own choices.
The palace also taking heat for the decision to open an investigation into claims that Meghan bullied staff. Friends of the Duchess now taking to social media to offer her their support. Actress Janina Gavankar tweeting, "Here's what she is, kind, strong, open. Here's what she's not, a bully." With the Queen's Commonwealth address will be broadcast here in the UK tomorrow night, several hours before Harry and Meghan's interview airs in the US. But that won't be broadcast here until Monday. Whit?
All right, Julia McFarlane for us. Thank you. And there is much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. Fraternities under fire. The alleged hazing investigations at two universities. What the family of one college freshman said led up to his tragic death. And the state trooper caught on camera restraining a suspect with a canine for several minutes. The felony charges that officer is now facing tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back now with a parent's worst nightmare, the college student hospitalized after an alleged hazing incident just days after another student was found dead at a fraternity house. That heartbroken family now speaking out. Here's ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi.
Tonight, two families in two states devastated by what happened to their college-age sons in separate incidents of alleged fraternity hazing. Bowling Green State University student Stone Fultz is alive but in critical condition. A statement from Bowling Green University citing, quote, alleged hazing activity involving alcohol consumption at a Pi Kappa Alpha off-campus event. We have placed this fraternity on interim suspension as we work with local law enforcement. This less than a week after the father of Adam Oakes, a freshman at Virginia Commonwealth University, opened his door to police.
And then they broke the news to us, and it's just been a disaster ever since.
The family says they heard from friends present that Adam was encouraged to consume a large quantity of whiskey as part of an initiation process, then passed out.
The next morning they checked on him. He was dead.
That fraternity suspended by the national organization and by VCU, which promises an independent investigation. But two anti-hazing activists whose son, Tim Piazza, died during hazing at Penn State in 2017, frustrated by lax laws.
The word hazing apparently is acceptable, but if you translate it to what it really is, abuse, then you see it as the crime that it is.
Just devastating for those families. Our thanks to Mona Kosar Abdi for that. To the index and the state trooper facing felony assault charges after a disturbing on-camera arrest, Michigan State Police releasing dash cam footage showing Officer Parker Serbrook restraining a suspect with a canine for nearly 4 minutes. The suspect, who was not resisting, accused of fleeing a traffic stop with a gun in the car. Serbrook suspended without pay. Inaugural poet Amanda Gorman says she was racially profiled. Gorman posting on social media that she was tailed by a male security guard outside of her own apartment and told she looked suspicious. Gorman writing, "This is the reality of black girls. One day you're called an icon, the next day a threat." But later thanking followers for their support, saying there is always far more good in this world than bad. And the crash causing a car to flip vertically. The SUV landing upright. Take a look after crashing into a Taco Bell sign in Westlake, Ohio. The 58-year-old driver taken to the hospital but is expected to be okay. Police say they believe he was impaired. Finally tonight, America Strong. The woman dancing her way through her toughest battle and a special surprise waiting for her.
If you've ever needed proof that a little dance can bring joy, meet Raina Williams.
The 34-year-old diagnosed with breast cancer last summer before starting 16 rounds of aggressive chemotherapy.
As you can imagine, I mean, my first chemotherapy, I was really nervous.
But this was Raina after that first treatment, dancing her way back to her car.
I was up in the chemo chair when I was finishing up, and I decided, you know, I want to dance out of here because I'm so happy that I have completed my first round of chemotherapy.
Though she has no training in dance, Raina used her love for it to give her something positive to focus on. That feeling before each treatment, turning the parking area at Swedish American Cancer Center in Northern Illinois into her own dance floor.
The dancing has really been my way of focusing on something positive.
Then on Wednesday, after Raina's last chemo treatment, a surprise. A flash mob of coworkers, her medical team, family, and friends returning that gift of dance and joy to celebrate.
The amount of love and support that I felt walking out of those doors, it definitely will be something I remember for the rest of my life.
And we are cheering you on. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. Have a great night.